From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting a bloody hours-long standoff between militants and security forces at a Pakistani police academy has ended. At least 58 police cadets were killed, dozens more wounded. The gunmen, armed with explosive vests, attacked the Balochistan facility in southwest Pakistan near the city of Quetta. The group of at least six masked gunmen took a number of hostages. They're believed to be members of the Al-Qaeda jihadist Sunni group Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. Pakistani analyst Moeen Chima of Australian National University said the group has become a top priority now for security forces.
The state has taken these sorts of sectarian militant outfits also seriously, and the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi has particularly been targeted. Some of its notable leaders were killed by the police in an attack a few months back. So clearly there is motivation for the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. If it is confirmed that it is the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi which has carried out this attack, there's clearly motivation because they have been targeting public officials and now the military as well in retaliation for the intelligence-based operations against them.
The region has been beset by violence, with more than 70 killed last August in a suicide attack at a Quetta hospital. In Central African Republic Monday, at least four people were killed when protests in the capital Bangui aimed at UN peacekeepers turned violent. Five peacekeepers were among the 14 wounded. One protester said people don't understand what the role of the UN mission, known as MINUSCA, is. He said people continue fighting, the peacekeepers don't intervene. Earlier this month, at least 30 people were killed and dozens wounded when fighters from the Muslim Salika militia group staged an attack in the central town of Kanga Bandoro. This is VOA News. Iraqi forces advancing on Mosul are reportedly facing stiff resistance from Islamic State defenders. The jihadists are hitting back with shells, sniper fire, suicide car bombs, and booby traps. Meanwhile, the UN Refugee Agency is gearing up for the anticipated flood of displaced civilians. Filippo Grandi is the UN High Commissioner for Refugees.
UNHCR, just to give you an example, is going to have in two, 3 days, 30,000 tents in country, in Iraq. This is enough for 150,000 people.
Meanwhile, a U.S. defense spokesman says Iraqi and Kurdish Peshmerga fighters have regained more than 800 square kilometers of land since the Mosul campaign was launched last week. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, discussed Syria by phone Monday. Both agreed experts will continue to search for ways to resolve the fighting over Aleppo. Government forces Monday reportedly captured the strategic high ground of Bazo on the city's southern edge. Meanwhile, at least 13 were killed reportedly Monday in a heavy government airstrike in rebel-held Idlib province. This civil defense volunteer said warplanes targeted the town of Khan Sheikhoun with explosive thermobaric bombs. He said six strikes resulted in targeting schools and a marketplace. Secretary of State Kerry spoke by phone Sunday with his Philippines counterpart on what U.S. spokesman John Kirby Monday described as bilateral and regional matters of mutual concern. President Rodrigo Duterte has used incendiary language in response to recent U.S. criticism of the prosecution of his war on drugs. He also announced in Beijing last week a separation from his longtime ally, Washington. Kirby said U.S. diplomat Daniel Russell met the Foreign Secretary, Perfecto Yasay, in Manila Monday and had a clear message.
That the relationship remains stable and solid, and that, we obviously are both going to have to work to sustain it and to keep it going. But they both came away from their discussions feeling that that we were going to be able to work through this period.
Russell said Mr. Duterte's remarks have created a climate of uncertainty. European Union and Canadian leaders say they're still hopeful a transatlantic free trade deal will be approved, despite opposition from a region in Belgium. Chrystia Freeland is the Canadian Minister of International Trade.
Canada is ready to sign now. We've done our job. Now it's up to Europe to do its job. And the Europeans have acknowledged at all levels that it's their job to do, and they have all been saying today publicly that they're hard at work.
All 28 EU members must sign off on the Comprehensive Economic Trade Agreement for it to take effect. Belgium, the only outstanding country, needs support of its five regional parliaments. Wallonia refuses. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.